Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I was hoping that the introduction would play, but of course it didn't. I'll play it for you now. Welcome to Stage Right, the show that seeks the conservative voice in theater. And now, here's your host, Robert Cooperman. Well, I gave it a shot, and I told the Blog Talk Radio settings to play that intro, and it didn't do it. And this is going back to our early days here at Stage Right, when I never knew how to work the opening song. I used to hit the play button, and that was actually stopping it. Well, now it was stopped, so I hit the play button. We'll figure it out, folks. Welcome to Stage Right. This is your host, Robert Cooperman, and I am here with you every Sunday, almost. I've been doing it every other week lately because I've been traveling a lot. But we're here almost every Sunday from 1:30 p.m. Eastern time to 2. Just a half an hour is all we have to talk about the lack of conservative voices. But today I think we're going to turn the tide a little bit and be a little bit more positive. If you want to get in on the fun, you can give me a call at 347-884-9659. That number is 347-884-9659. You can all, if you're a shy little person and you don't want to call in, you can always write to me at stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. That's stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. And I want to remind you once again that we are supported by our friends at Zander Business Group. They provide provide social media monitoring and online risk assessment for your child's online presence. And don't remember, folks. Don't even listen to a word I'm saying. Boy, I'm really good today, huh? No wonder you want to listen to this show. The internet never forgets, folks. Do you understand that? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? The internet never forgets, and it's even more important now for parents to take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety as well as online reputation. So you're going to want to call Zander Business Group for more information. They can be reached at 760-865-9614. That number again is 760-865-9614, or you can email them at info@ZanderBusinessGroup. That's all one word, Zander with an X, ZanderBusinessGroup.com. If I sound mellow today, it's because I think that opening song, even though it didn't come on when I wanted it to, it was kind of maybe a little mellow, you know, kind of like, hey, sit back, relax, and listen to Stage Right. Well, we've got some stuff to talk about here today. I want to tell you first about a show that I went to. And anytime I go to see a play or a theater piece, I'll share it with you. And this time it's at Wright State University. It was last week. Wright State University put on The Great Gatsby. Great Gatsby, an adaptation, of course, of the classic novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And I guess, you know, I go there with the attitude, fairly or unfairly, that I'm going to hear something that's going to annoy me as a conservative. And I figure, you know, well, maybe because this is a classic American novel, I've read the novel, maybe that's not there. And, you know, this is a case where I think we can jump to conclusions and start screaming about the conclusions we jump to, or we can jump to conclusions and then actually research what the heck we're talking about and then determine if we were right to jump to such conclusions. And that's really what happened to me. That was the last piece for me. Because in the play, this was, again, an adaptation of the Fitzgerald novel. And one of the characters, Tom Buchanan, is talking when we first meet him. And he's talking with his wife, Daisy. And also Nick Carraway, and they're talking, and also that tennis player, the female tennis player whose name escapes me, and I don't have a copy of the playbill here in front of me because this is a top-notch professional show. Well, anyway, so he was talking, and he said something to the effect of, you know, we better watch ourselves because the white race is going to be overrun by essentially minorities in a number of years. And he says that then, and he says it a little bit later, something similar to that, that we whites are going to be in the minority soon. Now, this is when, you know, Gatsby's written in the 1920s. I imagine, A, that was a shocking kind of thing, but I can't imagine that somebody like Mr. Buchanan was alone in thinking that, or, you know, I'm not sure that Fitzgerald would throw something like that in if that sentiment wasn't already out there to some extent. But I mean, it can't be, couldn't have been as, well, from your perspective, I'll be careful as I say this, threatening as it would be today. At any rate, the first thing I thought of when I heard this was, oh my God, why the heck would the person who's adapting this play, why would this person throw that in? It's not fair. Once again, it's another attack. So I'm sitting there, and you know, it kind of killed. I don't say killed. I shouldn't say that. It kind of upset my watching this piece because that's all I could think of for a while. It's like, you know, what's the matter with you? They have to constantly throw in something about, you know, or make somebody who's more conservative, because Mr. Buchanan is very rich, right? They all are there, right? They all are. Well, not Nick so much, but they're all well-to-do in their mansions on Long Island, right? It's you know, something that I guess this is what rich people think. In order to hold on to their wealth, in order to preserve what they've got, they are by nature, therefore, conservative. And you can tell also in the way that Nick treats the gas station owner, Myrtle's husband, and he is very dismissive of him as a lower class person, a worker. So, you know, we get a very clear picture that Mr. Buchanan is one of those capitalist swine who also believes that the white race is in trouble, in big trouble. And so I watched this and I kept thinking about it. And I said, as soon as I get home, which would have been the next day, as soon as I get home, I'm going to look this up in Fitzgerald. Well, heck, I didn't. And I also said, this is going to be great for the show. I'm going to talk about this and, you know, who the heck is this? Is this writer, and this, he's adapting this, and you know, what's he throwing that in there for? And sure enough, I went home and I grabbed my copy of The Great Gatsby, and I looked, and sure enough, there it is. It was there. And I said, well, you know, the air went out of my sails there, and I said, well, I'm not going to bring this up on the show, with at least in that way. And I just stopped to think. I said, you know, why aren't we, even on the right, why aren't we thinking more? Why do we have such knee-jerk reactions? I mean, that's definitely the domain of the left. Why are we doing it? You know, or are we? Maybe we're not. Maybe I just am. I'm willing to admit that. But, you know, there I was ready to start screaming. And it turns out that, you know, I would have really made a fool of myself, a bigger fool than I make every Sunday when I'm on. So, you know, I just said, you know, so I did a lot of thinking. That got me thinking a lot about this whole issue of conservative theater and our lack of it. Now, I am not going to waver from my position that we conservatives need to have a place at the theatrical table. And somebody said to me the other day, actually a student of mine said, the theater table should be a round table. And what she meant by that was, of course, is that we can all see each other. And we all know that we're there. And we all know that we each have an equal spot at the table. There is no head of the table when there's a round table, right?
We figured that, I figured that if I'm going to be accepted as a conservative at the table, then I have to know who else is there. And I have to, I guess I have to kind of accept that. And I don't think that that wavers from what I've been talking about for this year, because we've been on a little bit over a year now. And I think that's a wonderful thing that we've been able to sustain this show with an audience for more than a year. But I kind of would like to move in a slightly different direction now, which is going to be a little bit more thoughtful. And by that, I mean, I think I've spent this year talking a lot about or trying to prove that there is a left-wing bias in the arts. And I think that is something that we, even the left, acknowledges. Right? So why would I spend a year proving it? Well, I also wanted to spend a year talking about how the conservatives are just not afforded a place at the table. And this goes back to my discussion about Kara Bluen and or with Kara Bluen, actually, and the Philadelphia presentation in 2012 of the Republican Theater Festival, where she very bravely said she wanted to see something else than her own point of view reiterated every time she goes to a show. And she also said that when she did this project, a number of the theater groups would not work with her again. They said they won't work with her again. And that in that situation, theater is not a round table. It's a square table, and there's a head of the table. And at the head of this table is left-wing ideology. And that's what's the dominant culture in the arts today. And again, this is nothing new to anybody, right? This is not new. And this is true. And this is not a recent development, right? I mean, let's think about arguably the greatest American playwright, Eugene O'Neill. I said arguably, for you who are going to call me up and say, what about Tennessee Williams? What about Arthur Miller? I got it. But O'Neill, I think, whom Miller and Williams owe a small debt to anyway, was experimenting with theater early on. And in so doing, he was looking to shake up the status quo. So we have plays like The Emperor Jones, with a leading black character, and the whites are not nearly as majestic as he. We have plays like the lesser known O'Neill play, All God's Chillin' Got Wings, where a black man is married to a white woman. We have a mainstream, if you will, playwright of O'Neill's stature presenting this stuff. I don't mean to dismiss it by saying stuff, but this is – so my point is that even then, theater is a place where shaking up the status quo is a good thing and causes controversy and causes riots and causes protests and all that stuff. And, of course, O'Neill's point of view is a decidedly left point of view, right? The left. Today, we have a theater monarchy, I can't think of a good word for that, but a theater establishment that is decidedly left-wing. So now a play like All God's Chillin' is not so much overturning the theatrical apple cart as it used to. So what's going to overturn, and I don't know if we want to overturn, maybe I shouldn't say that either. What's going to shake up the status quo. If we agree that the status quo today is the theater establishment, which is predominantly, if not exclusively, left-wing, do we then abandon the age-old purpose of theater and not shake them up? So I'm getting around this very awkwardly, but what I'm trying to say is simply this. We need right-wing theater. We need conservative theater. We need those points of view. What our opponents in this will say is that we are trying to go back to the past. To which I say, maybe we are. Why do we have to hide behind that? Or why do we have to shirk from that? Oh, you know, all the left has to ever say to us is, oh, you want to return to the bad old days. You want to return to the past. And then all of a sudden, we're like, oh, okay, you're right. We don't, you know, we want to move forward. We want to be in our own way progressive and move forward. I don't agree. No, we don't. What is wrong with going back to some ideas of the past that made a lot of sense? And don't put words in my mouth and don't put agendas on me now. Don't sit there and say, oh, he wants to return to slavery. I didn't say that. All I'm saying is, what would be so wrong? Why is that such a bad thing to go back to something that actually may have worked? We look at our country today and we see people who are irreligious. We see people who are scornful of religion, our own government, right? We see people who are not engaged with the Constitution. We see people who are purposefully ignorant of the history of this country, who only want to focus on the negatives of this country. Why can't we have a conservative voice that says, you're wrong. These are all good things, and here's why. So I don't have a problem with returning to the past. That doesn't mean I want to go into, it doesn't mean I want to go into a time machine, go back to the past, and live it the way it was lived. Right? I don't want to go back to 1861 and have slaves. Don't want to do that. But I want to go back to a point, maybe in 1861. I don't know. I'm just coming up with a year, so don't historians don't call in. When it was a good thing to pledge allegiance. Again, please don't send me notes saying that's not when the pledge of allegiance was. I'm making a general point. Maybe I want to go back to the time, maybe in the 1950s. Okay, when saying a Pledge of Allegiance meant something and reintroducing that into our culture. Doesn't mean I want to live everything that happened in the 50s, although it's always been a time in that I've always looked upon nostalgically, of course I didn't live in it, not having been born until the 60s, but I've always been envious of my older brother and sister who did live a number of cognitive years in the 50s. And must have been a wonderful place, I think. Okay? Others will disagree. But I don't want to go back to going to a restroom and it says colored only or whites only. I don't want to go back to that. But I want to go back to an embrace of American values. I want to go back to an embrace and an adherence to the Constitution. That's what I want to go back to. So I say to conservatives out there, do not be afraid. And this is a message I used to say when we started this show. Do not be afraid to speak your mind. You are another point of view. Be proud of that. And so what are we going to do? What are we doing about all this bitching that we've been doing. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, and we've been doing a lot of bitching on this show. I get it. I've been the lead bitcher. I've been the lead person who has been bitching about, for God's sakes, conservatives, we can't get anywhere. For God's sakes, look at all these left-wing people screaming at us. And look at all those things, like I said, about the Great Gatsby. Oh, my God, look at that. They're infusing some kind of right, radical, fascist, racial message in the Great Gatsby. Turns out it was there. So I think we need to take a very conscientious and serious look at ourselves. And we need to say, let's forward our arguments, but let's do it intelligently. Let's forward our arguments and have a response to the left. Let's have a response that says, when they say to you, oh, you just want to go to the back to the past, to the bad old days. We say, no, we want to go back to certain elements of the past that may have actually worked, that may have kept our country a lot more united than it is today, that may be a little bit more clear thinking than we are today. So don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not here to embrace, I'm not reaching out my hand to the left and saying, you know, you're right, we'll shut up. What I'm saying is we should have an equal voice at that theatrical round table, and we should be pretty proud of it. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do that's positive from this moment on? Because I don't want to sit through another show where all that's on my mind is, oh, for God's sakes, why did they put that anti-right-wing thing in there? There'll be shows like that, and it'll be very obvious, and I'll point it out. But it can take even us in a, you know, we can go too far with that, and I did. So when I look at this book that I've been looking at, The Art of Theater Then and Now by William Missouri Downs, Lou Anne Wright, and Eric Ramsey, I think I'm absolutely right to point out all the left-wing assumptions that make up this book, that there is a dominant culture, and that dominant culture is busy suppressing, putting down other voices. And by the way, I've not met yet a theater professional who says that that is true. These are left-wing people. Not the people I've talked to, not the people I've interviewed. They say, you know, look at somebody like Mark Philip Schwamberger, who runs the Evolution Theater Company in Columbus, Ohio. And, he's not going to say that his LGBT voice is suppressed because he's got one of the largest theater groups in the city, and he's doing extremely well. And I think for theater purposes, that's great. And you know, he commented to me back when, you might have heard the interview with him, if not, go to the archives and listen to it. And we were talking at the time about a play, and I was very sensitive to the fact that the play made the right-wing people seem like buffoons. And he said, I think you may be a little too sensitive. Maybe he's right. And maybe, all for my thinking, what The Great Gatsby did for me, what a great novel. But it also may be that I have become a little too sensitive. And then if I am, then aren't we just like the left? Because they get offended if you drop a hat. I mean, they get offended at everything. And they see secret meaning in everything. And they see conspiracy in everything. Do we want to be like that? I guess the question is, do we have to be like that in order to combat it? I mean, is the only way we're going to successfully combat it is if they we fight fire with fire, so to speak. So I'm proposing here kind of a new idea, or maybe just picking up the original idea that I dropped. I don't know. But I'm proposing here that stage right, we start being a little bit more positive about the good things we can do. And if that means I need to go back to what I haven't been doing in a while, and that's interviewing conservative playwrights and conservatives in the arts and asking them not only about what they write and where, you know, about their political beliefs, and just to have them agree with me that the conservatives don't have yet a place at the table. But what are they doing? What should we all be doing to promote our voices? Is writing the plays enough? And then sitting back and say, well, I wrote the play, but no one's going to produce it because they don't like left-wing plays. So, excuse me, we don't like right-wing plays. We're a left-wing company, and heck, there's not a lot of right-wing companies. So what do we do? That's the kind of thing I want to focus on for at least a few shows here. You know, what's working in the conservative world? I'm blaming me. I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming me. Let's stop bitching for a little while, you know, and seeing a anti-conservative bias under every rock. It is there. Don't get me wrong. I don't like it. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, we've got to now come up with a strategy to combat it. And just banging our fists on the table and screaming to the unyielding universe that the conservative voice is not being heard is not going to get us a place at that table. I want to hear your thoughts. I wish you'd call me at 347-884-9659. I wish you'd call in, 347-884-9659. If not, send me an email at stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. I'm going to work for maybe next week to have on someone from the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance. Let's start talking about the positive things that they do. Liberty Island is another place you might want to visit, libertyisland.com. They are not friendly, unless this has changed, they are not friendly to plays. They don't want to put plays on their website. I think that's it's a short-sighted and response. But they don't want to do it. Okay. So we can't really sponsor them as much. But maybe we can, definitely, I know we can, the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance. And I want to have one of their members, one of their founders on here and talk about how we fill this niche in a positive way. How do we get a seat at the table? Okay. I'll still point out all the things that that I think are going on that are just, you know, unceasing attacks on the right. But, you know, do we have to read Saul Alinsky's playbook in order for us to be effective and get that place at the table? Do we have to be as ruthless and undermining as these folks on the left are? Maybe we do, but the fact of the matter is we are now the minority, not talking about color. We are now the group that is truthfully being pushed out and suppressed. How do we stop that? Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about again next week. I wanted to use this week to set it up. We are just about out of time here, so I'm going to say once again to please join us every Sunday, unless I call it off. Check it out on Facebook, and I'll tell you. Every Sunday, we are here at from 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, just until 2, but it's enough time to at least get those thoughts flowing. Let's talk next week about what we can do to make a more positive stride to get a place at the table. Because you can catch more bees with honey than you can with vinegar or something like that. I don't know. I've never been in the habit of catching bees. That's my old conclusion song, and just thought I'd play it again. Anyway, this is Robert Koopman. I want you to join me next week on Blog Talk Radio at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Stage Right. And for right now, we are exiting Stage Right.